Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
You know, there's one reason I don't mind this time of season. It's because of songs like that. You know, I walk with my wife in the mall a lot. We walk around, and when she's not all gimpy on me, we're able to walk. And you know, I hear songs about 10 months out of the year in the malls that I'm like, no, don't say those words. Don't talk like that. Don't sing that stuff. And then around Christmas time, about half the songs I hear are pretty good. And occasionally, I even hear songs like, "Oh, Come All Ye Faithful," across a microphone in a store. It's amazing to me that people are out, maybe even acting a little crazy, spending money they don't have, all that kind of stuff. But yet there's a sound being manifested in the heavens, if you will, of worship of Jesus, even from secular environments. I wonder if God ever looks down and says, you know, that's a good idea. I wish you guys would do it more often. I wonder if God has expectations of us this Christmas. You know, I wonder if he has expectations of us. Maybe that sometime in this Christmas season we might actually stop and pay attention to him. Even coming to a Christmas service, sometimes we get so caught up in all the stuff and how we look and what we wear and what we're going to do after we hear and what we're going to eat. Sometimes we get so caught up we just forget to come and worship him. I wonder if God has expectations of us for Christmas. I wonder if God has expectations for us, because I know we have expectations when it comes to Christmas. Does anybody in the room have expectations regarding what Christmas means? I think about those expectations. Well, your expectation of me is I have to tell you a joke, so I have to. Knock, knock. Pizza. Pizza on earth and goodwill toward men. There's your joke. You have expectations. I have expectations. The perfect gift, the perfect Christmas, the perfect moment, the perfect feeling. Anybody watch Hallmark movies at all? Anybody in the room? You people are unashamedly horrible. Every Hallmark movie is all about gathering a feeling, right? A feeling. What happens, though, if your expectations for a feeling don't match the reality of what you're in? I was a kid, and this is part of the reason I'm still in counseling. I had many great Christmases, but this one Christmas, there was this one gift. It was about that big around, it was about that long, and it was heavy at one end. It was about that long, it was about that big around, and it was heavy at one end. And my mom had wrapped it and put it under the tree weeks before. Well, I had picked that thing up, picked it up and shook it, and I couldn't understand what it was. It was driving me crazy. What is in this present? I mean, anybody ever have a moment like that? My old pastor's wife in Wilmington used to go down and unwrap all of her presents and then rewrap them after she looked at them. She was that kid. Not me, though. I sat and wondered with expectation. And Christmas morning, I'm a pain before pleasure kind of person. If you know me, pain before pleasure. So on Christmas morning, I opened all my other gifts so I could save the one that intrigued me the most, the last. Well, my mom must have been mad at us as kids. Because we could never keep a pair of socks. So when I opened up that intriguing Christmas gifts, it was stuffed with three pair of socks. I tell you, I'm still in counseling for that. But my expectation didn't meet the reality of the moment, and I was disappointed. even a little disillusioned. Have you ever had an expectation that you didn't meet, that it didn't get met the way you wanted it to, and you were a little disappointed, if not even disillusioned? Maybe your view of a life or a relationship, or maybe even your view of God. Well, there was a man, I agree, buddy. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Go. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. So what do we know about him already? He is what? Righteous and he's devout. That means he not only did the right things, but he did the right things faithfully. Now, I may be really good at doing the right things occasionally, but this guy was good at doing the right things regularly. And he was waiting. There's an expectation that comes in Christianity, especially if you listen to the guys on TV. And the expectation is this, that if you follow Jesus, he's going to make your life perfect and wealth and riches and health will come to you, right? Has anybody ever waited for that to happen and it didn't? I mean, God sometimes does miracles and sometimes he does provision, but often God doesn't come through the way we tell him he should do it. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting. And one more thing about this guy. So he was faithful, he was devout, and he was patient. He was waiting there, but the Holy Spirit was on him. And the Holy Spirit was enabling him to see things with his spiritual eyes that he could not see with his natural eyes. So how many of you would think of a guy like this? Now, you got a righteous man, does the right thing. He's devout. He keeps doing it. He's patient and waiting and being faithful, even though he doesn't have the answer. And the Holy Spirit's on him. How many of you think this is the kind of guy you could respect, right? It's not a trick question. Would you like to be a person like this that people would say those words about you? Amazing, right? So, Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So his great revelation he was waiting upon is he knew he was going to see Messiah. By the way, Messiah. I teach New Testament classes occasionally. That means I have to read dusty books. And I read a lot of dusty books. And I will tell you that there was an expectation of Messiah. Have you ever heard of Hanukkah, you know, the lighting of the candles that the Jews do? It's in celebration of the Maccabean revolt when God did a miracle to enable the Jewish people to regain control and identity of their nation. Then the Romans came and took them over again. And they were waiting for another Messiah who would do like the Maccabees had done and give them control of their own nation and give them independence. And they would give them that moment where they were back on top of their game. Right now they were slaves and they knew when Messiah came, he would put them back on top. So, that's what he was looking for, is a Messiah who would probably be a warrior to kick Rome out like it happened so many times before. So what happened was, he was moved by the Spirit. He went into the temple courts looking for Messiah, moved by the Spirit. Here he is. Then he says, when the parents brought the child to Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took Jesus in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, and the light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. What he's doing there is he's calling the prophecies to mind. The prophecies about Messiah, that he would be a light, that he would be a victor, that he would be the revelation of God for all people, and he would elevate Israel again. And he says this, his expectation was, I've seen him now, I can die. Simeon had been given a promise that he would see the Messiah. How many years do you think he waited? There are a lot of years. He was waiting. He was faithful. You know, when I used to do interviews for church planters, one of the questions that was asked of church planters, and you could tell it was a knockout question. That meant if they failed this question, they couldn't be a church planter because they would fail. And one of the questions was this. Y'all ready? Have you ever prayed for something a long time? And if they hadn't prayed for something a long time without receiving an answer, you knew they were a quitter. Because we all have expectations we want from God, and sometimes we're pray and we're faithful and we have to wait because God doesn't always deliver. He's not a fast food restaurant. You know, good meals take time. Just ask my wife, right? She goes to cook. It takes all day to make a good meal, right? Am I correct, ladies? Or men who like to cook, not me. When I cook, my wife thinks she's a goddess because I bring her burnt offerings. But good things take time. And he was waiting for years. And then what do you think? He expected to see Messiah come riding into town on a horse with the warriors and they would kick Rome out. But instead, what did he see? A little snotty-nosed baby. What did he see? His little baby. An infant who could do nothing. But through the Holy Spirit, he saw what he didn't even know he was seeing. Did he see this baby as just a little baby? I'm sure he did. But when he saw the little baby, he was like, peace out. I'm done. Peace out. You can now dismiss your servant with peace. Personally, I love that. Because I believe God put us on this earth to do certain things, and you're not getting out of it until you're finished, so you might as well get to work on it. All right. So the child's father and mother marveled at what he said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. What do you think Mary's expectations were? Here is Mary, who has an angel comes to her and tells her that she's going to give birth to a baby and she has never known a man. This is incredible stuff. And his name will be great and he will be a savior. And then the angels, you know, singing in the heavens and the shepherds showing up. This had to be a remarkable thing for Mary. And Mary has to think, this is awesome. Yes, this kid's going to be the next King David sitting on the throne, like the prophecies say. But I want you to notice what Simeon said to her. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, the child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign, not that will be spoken for, but it'll be a sign to be spoken what? Against. That's directly the opposite of what we think would happen. The expectation is Jesus is going to show up and it's all going to be awesome, but instead he's going to be a sign to be spoken against so that the hearts of many will be revealed. And notice this last line. Mary's expectation, she's expecting Jesus to be awesome and it never to have a bad day. And he said, a sword will pierce your own soul too. Two there, I think is sort of interesting, because when Jesus died, what happened? There was a sword that did what? Pierced his side. So she expected to give birth to this amazing Messiah. Did she expect this to be easy? Did she expect the child to be victorious? If an angel appears to you and says your child is going to be the son of the Most High God, are you expecting that child that is to be called great, that you would have high expectations? Your expectations aren't that a sword will pierce your soul. Notice Simon's prophecy said he would cause rising and falling, he would be spoken against, and that her own soul would be pierced. I wonder if that matched her expectations. So what are your expectations? Do you expect Jesus to be the magic genie that solves every problem when you ask? Do you expect God to make sense all the time? Do you expect faith to be undeniable and to understand the unexplainable? Or maybe you're just one of those people, you're here and you don't even expect God to show up at all. Maybe somebody brought you and you're like, it's unreal and I don't even want anything to do with it. Let me just say a couple of things about Jesus. Just a couple of things and then we're going to receive communion. First, Jesus never shows up the way you think he's going to. All right? Number one, Jesus never shows up the way you think he's going to. Everybody always thinks Jesus is going to do something that he doesn't do because Jesus is not here to do what you want. He's here to do what he wants through you. Baby in a manger to a teen girl, who would have thought that? Second of all, Jesus doesn't do what we think he should do. Messiah was supposed to conquer. Instead, what did Messiah do? Died. That's why it requires faith. Because Jesus doesn't come like you want him to show up, and he doesn't do what you want him to do. But do you know what? The last thing you need to know about Jesus is this, is he always, always wins. Always. He always wins. His love triumphed. When he showed up in that stable, laid in a manger, when he showed up, it wasn't how we thought a king should arrive. But yet he came to show us and identify with us and tell us, you know what? I understand you when life's at its worst. He broke our expectations to fulfill his promises for us. And that day when he was on that cross and a sword pierced Mary's soul too, she didn't know that 3 days later he was going to rise from the dead, because Jesus always wins. Doesn't do it the way you think he's going to, but let me tell you something. He always wins, and 3 days later he was resurrected from the dead and they saw it. Ready for one final one? One of these days, Jesus is going to come back. And I love it how people tell me end times how God's going to do it. You don't know. The angels in heaven don't know. Jesus said that, and yet you're going to tell me what his coming's going to look like. You don't know. Here's the only thing I know about his coming. He is coming back, and when he comes back, he wins again. Jesus is Lord and King, and he's going to come again. When he comes, I hope you're ready to receive him. Let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him room. So we're going to receive communion tonight. And at communion, here's what I'd like to do, is I'd like to make you an offer. I'd like to offer that you could have an opportunity to meet Jesus regardless of your expectations, and that you can truly meet him tonight. Because we're going to pass you a piece of bread, and we're going to pass you a cup. And you know what? It's your privilege to celebrate with us. It's open communion. You can grab that cup and that bread and celebrate with us. It's open communion. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to jump through hoops. We do ask, though, that you reverence and respect this moment, because what this cup declares is that Jesus is winning. And I would like to offer you an opportunity to do something. When you hold that cup in your hand and that bread in your hand, and it's time to receive, and we'll all receive it together, I'd like you to do something. I would like you to say, Jesus, I receive you. No matter what I thought it would look like, I receive you as you are. When we receive communion together, I believe Jesus will show up and he will bless you. He'll bless you with his presence and the nearness of who he is. So as they're passing out the communion elements,